Hello, Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Hello, that's Kirkendall Barrett.
And hello, Jason Ballard.
Hello, that's Kirkendall Barrett and Kirk Fitzpatrick.
It's your favorite day of the week, another day of a lifetime of Hallmark. This week, we are talking about a Lifetime movie, but it's a Lifetime Christmas movie. And I don't know about you, but I found this movie very interesting.
I did,
we'll
too.
Get into.
Yeah.
Yes.
But before we get into the movie, I have some Lori Loughlin news.
And now, for the Loughlin Report, here's Les Kirkendall Barrett. It's never going to get old.
I love that.
Okay, so I actually was reading TMZ today, and TMZ put out this article that said that there is a chance that Lori Loughlin and her husband can get away with this. Now, the reason why is because when they applied, they said that their daughter was going to be in rowing, right? Mm-hmm. Well, someone got a hold of a recruiting poster for the rowing team, and it turns out that in order to be on the rowing team, you don't have to be an experienced rower. Like, anybody can walk in and join the team.
Right.
So, yeah, but would you get a scholarship? Oh, no, maybe it doesn't have anything to do with scholarships. Okay.
So that's the technicality that TMZ says that they might be able to use, is the fact that since you don't need to be an experienced rower, Olivia Jade wasn't an experienced rower, but you know, she had the right to come and join the team like anybody else.
Well, yeah. So she was on the team.
No.
See, that's why I don't understand TMZ's reasoning here. It's education level sports teams, aren't they technically open to tryouts to anyone? But they recruit people that they want to be on their team that they think are going to be good, and that's what the recruitment process is all about, and that's how Olivia Jade, quote-unquote, got recruited.
Right. Exactly.
So I don't know if this is the Hail Mary that they think it is.
Well, you know, I mean, and it is TMZ at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know.
I guess anything is worth a shot.
Yeah, at this point, you know, they got to kind of throw spaghetti against the wall and see what sticks, you know?
I don't think that's going to work. I mean, there are other issues, too. There's that money laundering. They hire the guy to take the SATs and all that.
There's the $500,000 that exchanged hands. That's the real problem here. The fact that she was going to be on the rowing team and wasn't really on the rowing team.
Right. Now
oh, sorry. Oh, did you see the other article that there's a movie in the works?
And now, the Loughlin Report. Here's Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Yes, this just in. There is a movie in the works of these people, of Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman. Oh. Perhaps they can play themselves.
Is it a movie or is it a movie or a TV series? I was under the impression it was a TV series. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, is it going to be kind of like American Crime Story?
That's who's writing it. The guys that did the OJ thing are writing this.
Right.
That guy DV DeCentis, or I forget how he pronounces his name. I knew him many years ago. I worked when I first got out of university. I worked as a production assistant on this indie film, and he was an actor in it.
Oh, wow.
I've seen it. So maybe he'll remember me, and he could come on this show. You never know.
Maybe. Hey, it worked before.
Yeah, we got some people.
You know, they could write us into the movie, or into the show, think about it. Like, we could play heightened versions of ourselves commenting on these Lifetime Hallmark movies, and then we get the news.
Right.
I like that. We could be like the Greek chorus throughout, Or we could also, there could also be a framework where we're doing the podcast throughout the movie and we are like the narrative structure.
You know, we should write our own movie.
Like, I'd want to be on, I'd want to be like those three girls on Little Shop of Horrors.
I love that idea.
Hey, so I saw, I was telling Les earlier, I saw a major celebrity today in Times Square at about 5:40. I can tell you exactly where this was.
What and, were you doing Les and was what was this celebrity doing?
I work in Times Square, so I was leaving work.
Okay.
Like 5:30. So I walk out, and then I see this, and it was like really, really crowded. I'm trying to get through all of these people. And this woman, this celebrity is an older woman, and she had like a younger guy who was kind of like, they were like arm in arm, like hooked arm. Like mm-hmm. He was like escorting her somewhere.
Okay.
And I recognized her voice. She was like right next to me, and I kind of recognized her voice as well, and I look, oh, I know this woman. And then I turned around and kind of like waved to her, and she like looked at me like, yeah? And I said, hey, I'm a big fan of your work. And she said, thank you very much.
Who was it?
And I was trying to, and I was saying, this is a big, she's a big Broadway star, but she's also known for her TV work.
Okay.
And Les guessed Bernadette Peters. I said, no. They said, Patti LuPone. I said, you're closer. Closer, closer.
Carol Channing?
She's dead.
No, she died. Oh, no. This woman was just on a TV show that ended. And she was on like one season of a huge TV show that's still running. But I think her character might be dead on that show.
Is she more known for Broadway or for TV?
Probably Broadway, but she was on a very popular show that just ran for like four or five seasons.
So it's not like Glenn Close, who's in both.
No, okay. She's not as famous as that.
Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah, now we need to know.
Yeah, who is it?
You want to know? It was Tova Feldsha.
Oh!
I don't know who that is.
Oh, no. You don't know who Tova Feldsha is.
No.
Okay, she's on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. She is Rachel Bloom's mom. She also was on – she was in the movie Kissing Jessica Stein. She was the mom in that. I remember from that.
Okay.
And
she was in – she was on The Walking Dead. That's the huge show that she was on. She was on The Walking Dead for like a season.
Okay.
And she's famous for. Oh, was she? Well, she's been nominated for Tonys. I believe she was the original Yentl when Yentl was on Broadway before it was a movie. She was Yentl.
Oh.
So she was Yentl before Barbara was Yentl. Okay.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Well, good for her
so,
and
we just
for
like
you.
To say hi yeah, there.
I don't know who that is, but that's awesome though.
Oh. She was very
Tova
nice.
Tova Feldsha. Yes, I said. Well, I said because I recognize her voice because she kind of has a voice like this a little bit. I said, I'm a big fan of your work, and she said, "Thank you very much."
That wasn't Tova. That was Harvey Fierstein.
It was Harvey Fierstein. Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. I said, you're great in Torch Song Trill. Thank you. No, I'm Tova Feldsha.
Oh, sorry.
Tova Feldsha.
That would be
so if
genuinely
Tova would like to continue our conversation, she could come on the show.
That would be genuinely hilarious if you had confused Tova with Harvey.
Right.
Well, the funny thing is I really didn't know I recognized this woman. I really couldn't remember what her name was. So it's a good thing she didn't say, who am I?
What's my name? Like,
oh, I don't know. You're the Walking Dead woman. You're the crazy ex-girlfriend woman.
It's not my name.
So there's our Hollywood news for the day.
The Hollywood Minute.
I am on the street getting reports.
The Hollywood Minute. Okay, well, let's start chatting about the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Shall we?
Yeah, The 12 Men of Christmas.
Yes, okay. So we start out, we're in New York, And it starts out with a Carrie Bradshaw voiceover, which is always a good sign.
Always a good sign?
Well, not always.
But we'll make up your mind here.
It gets my hopes up. It gets my when I hear Carrie Bradshaw, it gets my hopes up.
Is that because it insinuates, okay, this is going to have sort of a Sex in the City kind of vibe to it, or why does it get your hopes up?
Yes, because okay. I am a diehard Sex in the City fan, so it always just reminds me of Sex in the City. So yeah, I'm like, oh, this is going to be good.
Okay.
And so we find out that our protagonist, Kristen Chenoweth, otherwise known as E.J. Baxter, we find it like she's kind of a pistol. You know,
yeah.
She doesn't take no for an answer. Like, she's on the phone with this woman named Cindy, and Cindy was like, well, I was going to try to get Coldplay tickets. E.J. went out and got her Coldplay tickets. Then she was, like, meeting this client, and this client was going to a spin class. So she goes to the spin class.
Well, she uses the Coldplay tickets to find out that the client is going to be in the spin class.
Right.
The Coldplay tickets were just like bribery, basically.
Right.
By the way, so, when they were establishing that it was New York, at first I wasn't sure it was New York because I'm pretty sure they showed the Twin Towers. And I stopped. I was like, what year is this made? And I looked it up and I was like, okay, it's after 2001. Maybe it was just two buildings that were next to each other. They were around the same size, but I did a double take because I seriously thought they showed the Twin Towers.
I would have remembered that. I wrote that I thought that Kristen Chenoweth looks like a shrunken, like if Kelly Ripa was shrunk.
They're probably around the same size. Did you recognize Kristen once you saw the movie now, Kurt?
Not really.
Oh, because you said you didn't know her by name, and
I did know her by name, recognize her by name, but see her, I know her name, but not her face. And Tova Felcha, I know her face, but not her name.
Okay. So what you're saying is that Kristen Chenoweth and Tova Felcha need to do a movie together.
Yes,
they need to do a movie together. Or if Kristen, or if they can switch, they could switch names. That I would know one person's face. I'm lost on this. I'm actually going to just
Kristen Chenoweth
myself.
Was like probably best known on Broadway for doing Wicked.
Yeah.
Wicked, yeah. Well, no, but I know women like that. Like small, compact, tough, blonde women. And right. I like them.
She doesn't really play the tough blonde woman, though. She's...
No, she isn't this.
Yeah. But she
I get
normally
the impression
plays
that's,
like
that's what she'd like, though.
But you know what? She's tough, but not too tough.
Yeah.
Like
right.
She's tough, but she's not annoying.
Yeah, I agree.
Right.
So she does the spinning class to meet this client, and she takes it. And after the spinning class, she goes back to her office, and she's talking to her boss. And so she actually is planning on going to St. Bart's for the holiday. But then, oh, and then we find out she's engaged as well. So then we cut to the Christmas party, the office Christmas party, and they're, you know, they're chatting, da 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 da. And he says, oh, my contacts are bugging me.
By the way, when we first meet Noah, the fiancé, was your first thought, this guy's gay? Because that was my first thought.
Yes, it was.
Well, okay.
I wrote down, I don't know if I wrote, I think I wrote, talks to a guy, but maybe I wrote, it looks like I have an A, talks to a gay. But I wouldn't write it like that. Maybe
I think her assistant sorry, may have been a gay guy.
Talks to a gay. No, that's got to be guy. I must have written guy.
So he's kind of like he's kind of mansplainy, kind of jerky, kind of condescending to her. He tells her to take her cute little butt around the room.
Ooh.
walk around the room.
Doesn't she describe him to somebody as being perfect until perfect comes along?
Yes.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
That's an interesting turn of phrase.
I thought it was a great turn of phrase because of like, well, we know that he's not going to be around for long.
No. Perfect is going to come around.
Yeah.
Pretty soon. So then she's in the bathroom and she's talking to her sister Roz. And while she's talking to her sister Roz on the phone in the bathroom, she hears two people having sex in the stall.
Then, I have to admit, I accidentally thought this was a Hallmark movie. And so when this was going on, I was like, whoa, what's this? And there was also a diss. There was a community college diss. And I was like, whoa, are they really going to say that in a Hallmark movie? That's not cool. It's not cool anyway. But I was a little surprised. Like, oh, they're really, you know, on the edge here.
Right. But no, Lifetime. So the two people fall out of the stall. And it's her fiance and her boss.
Yeah.
So they go at it. They're having an argument. And she takes her boss's Gucci pumps and breaks them.
I loved that move, by the way.
Yes, me too.
She is a tough broad.
Yeah.
Hit him where it hurts.
No nonsense.
So then...
How much are those? How much would a shoe like that be?
I don't know
about Gucci. Like, I know Louis Vuittons are about $1,000 a pair, so probably in that range, maybe a little cheaper.
Oh. I'm Googling it right now.
Oh, yeah.
Gucci pump. Because she couldn't get it fixed, could she? Could she get that? Maybe she
if
could.
If you're, what? Like, a high-powered New Yorker that can afford Gucci pumps, as her boss probably did, it's probably annoying that they were broken, but she'll just buy a new pair.
Oh, I have here a Gucci leather pump, $890.
Mm-hmm. Ah, she just broke them. Oh, well, she's fooling around with her fiance, so she's lucky she didn't get punched in the face.
But the unfair thing about it is she got fired.
Yeah.
Which I would think there would be some kind of a suit. Like, she'd be able to sue. You know. So then we find out that, like, she's talking to a cab driver. We find out that she proposed to him. He didn't propose to her. But he asks for the ring back, and she can't get the ring off of her finger.
Yeah, they have, like, an awkward meeting in the, outside the elevator where she's, like, got her box of – like things as she's leaving, and of course she drops it, and of course he's there for the awkward meeting.
Right.
I did like what she said, though. She said, I could give lessons in amazing.
She said that too.
Yeah.
Yes.
She had some good lines.
Exact lines.
Right. I wrote down some lines that I thought were really good because I enjoyed it.
So then, you know, we find, you know, then she's talking to Roz. Roz is going out of town. So she's alone for Christmas. Then it's New Year's and she's with her dog. And then in the new year, she's trying to find a job, but the boss has blackballed her, so she can't find a job anywhere in New York.
I wrote here, this movie moves fast.
So then she finds a job. A mayor of a small town in Montana wants to hire her for a year so that she could get people to come and do, like, work conferences there. And so her sister Roz is like, you know what? You should go and do it. It's a year. Get your head together and then come back.
Do we ever find out who Roz was?
Is it her friend? Sister.
Oh, it was sister? Okay, I wasn't sure.
Yeah. So, she goes to Montana.
Yeah, she goes to Kalispell, Montana. Right. Now, who is from Kalispell, Montana? L. Ron Hubbard lived really? There when he was growing up.
Did you know this all offhand, or did you look it up when you heard the name of the town?
I looked it up.
Okay.
So I know now.
Okay, L. Ron Hubbard. Who
actress
else?
Michelle Williams. Actress Michelle Williams was born there.
Oh, nice.
Interesting.
So they have famous alumni from their high school.
Yes.
So So then we see her looking at this apartment, and it's like this humongous apartment for $525 a month, which is a steal. Mm-hmm. So then she goes to the mayor's office. She meets with the mayor and his assistant. I wrote, the assistant needs a makeover. The assistant is Anna Klumsky from My Girl.
And Veep.
Yes. And Veep, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Veep.
And so...
Now, why is Anna Klumsky, why is she in this movie? Does she just likes to work? Is that what's going on?
Probably.
Because I think I read that she was out of the business for a while.
Right.
And then she just started... Just kind of got back into it, started auditioning again. And then she was very fortunate to get Veep. So I think she just kind of like sticks to work.
Yeah. Well, and she's she's an adult now, so it's like she's got to pay the bills. And Veep's only ten episodes a season and was off for a year.
True.
So this movie is from, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago. So she probably had just gotten back on a Veep.
Okay. Was it before Veep?
No, this is after Veep premiered.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense.
But yeah, they do take long hiatuses, though. Mm-hmm.
And it's a cute movie. It's not like this is not bad.
I would agree with that. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, so then she tells the mayor, hey, I need an assistant. And the mayor's like, oh, just take mine. So he, like, gives Anna or Jan over to EJ. And at first, EJ's not too happy about it. So EJ's trying to, she's trying to come up with ways to get people to come to Montana. And Jan is like, Jan comes up with the idea of, you gotta have people wanting to experience something that they don't have at home. Bing, 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 which was very smart.
Hmm. She says there's no theaters, not really any museums.
Right. So Jan invites her out for drinks, and she's like, no. Then Jan invites her to go to the bakes, to the city bake sale.
Yeah.
Which is benefiting like the rescue team or something.
Right.
I can see this movie being remade.
Really?
Remade with our own Les Kirkendall Barrett. Because I'd like to see you have to move to like Kalispell, Montana. You're asked to help with the bake sale.
I'd be giving a lot of side eye. So EJ goes to the post office, and I know the woman who was playing the mail woman.
Oh, you know her personally?
I know her personally. Her name is Marianne.
Who is that?
Oh. Why is she not on the podcast today, Les?
Well, because I haven't seen Marianne in a few years. The reason why I know Marianne is because my ex was a producer on a movie that Marianne was in, and I would always go to the set, and so I knew her from the set.
Oh, nice.
Marianne, her last name is like Mululahala, like her, it's a complicated last name. But she's very nice. EJ cut. She does like the New Yorker thing and totally cuts in line in front of this cute guy, right?
Oh, and... yeah, we know immediately upon him being on screen that, he's the male lead. And it took a while to introduce him in the movie, I felt like.
Yeah. Yeah. So, then it's a Saturday night. So she cuts in front of him and the guy's kind of like, whatever, just go. Then it's a Saturday night and EJ's at home and she's bored and she's talking on the phone to her sister, and her sister has like this very fun night planned. She's going to go to a play, she's going out to dinner, she's going to have fun. And then we hear this news flash and some was it hikers or skiers that were stuck in an avalanche?
That I don't know. I just know there was an avalanche in the park.
There was an avalanche, and then we hear like the rescue squad like went and saved these people. They're heroes. And then we cut to a picnic, and the guy, one of the guys from the rescue squad, is buying something from the bake sale. Mm-hmm. And we find out that the search and rescue squad doesn't have their own helicopter.
Yeah, what was their did they say they borrowed the helicopter from someone? I didn't yeah. quite get that detail.
Yeah, and then we find that it's all volunteer, so they don't get paid. They're doing this on their own. And so I put here, these guys are ogling her because she's new meat, mm-hmm. new in town. They were talking about the different ways that they were raising money. Because what was it, like a bake sale? And then, because she said the line, I guess people really get into eating carbs here.
Yes.
And then, who was it that referred to the guy that she met as the George Clooney of the area?
Isn't that the it was one of the women. It was right. I think it was made of the mayor's wife or something.
And so, so she's like, oh, whatever.
And we see Anna Klumsky flirting with, I forget his name. Eric. Yeah. One of the search and rescue guys, there's a constant flirtation between him and Anna Klumsky.
Right. So then EJ's on the phone to Roz, her sister, and she's like, Roz, can you send me some coffee? Because the nearest Starbucks is 10 miles away. And I was like, poor thing. That must be horrible. So then she's going up to this house. Why was she going up to the house?
It's a chalet that one of her old clients said that she could use for events while she's okay. there.
So she walks in to the backyard, and this definitely was not a Hallmark movie because there was a guy skinny dipping in the pool. Mm-hmm. And
buck ass naked.
Right? Buck ass naked. And then he gets out of the pool.
It's Will.
And it's Will. And he gets out of the pool and stands in front of her and he's like, how you like this?
Yeah. That's, I don't know.
And then there was like some sexual innuendo about his penis.
Wait, what's that, Kurt?
Oh, no. Well, no, I just said that might be construed as rude, you know. You've been buck naked like that.
It'd be rude if he covered it up, I think.
Oh, okay.
But then, I mean, there was all this innuendo because she's like, well, it's not what it's cracked up to be. And he's like, it'll grow on you. Mm-hmm. And then
and she said, don't count on it.
Right. So, so then they're in the office or something, and Eric brought in a bunch of calendars. And Jan is there. They're very awkward.
He's bad at flirting. He's really bad at it.
And EJ's like, what's going on with you guys? And then they were going to go out and get liquored up. And then EJ has an idea. Let's do a naked calendar with naked men.
Naked-ish.
Naked-ish.
Yeah.
Naked-ish. Like a Chippendales calendar.
Oh.
And then I wrote here, of course, the fat guy's like, I'm not posing in my bathing suit.
Yeah, and she said, we don't want you to.
Right.
No, she didn't say that. She was nice.
But then I liked how she's like, you know, you can cover up your privates with like an axe or a snowblower.
Boy.
Or a helmet. Mm-hmm.
For my head.
I did like that when she was pitching it to the search and rescue team, that it was the young, hot guy, Jason, the fisherman. He was the one that was all in. Like, it was the hottest of them. It was like, yeah, I'll show it off, whatever.
Yeah, she was like, okay, That's it. It's a done deal.
And I do love, there was a guy named Jason, there was a guy named Les, but there was no Kurt.
Oh, no.
No. I was not included.
Because Les didn't want to take his clothes off, because he was afraid he'd lose customers.
Whereas Jason was all about it.
Right.
He was all about it.
I'm doing this podcast naked right now.
Kurt wasn't there. He was locked in someone's attic and wasn't allowed out.
So she proposes.
He was institutionalized.
She proposes this, and everybody like turns her down except for Jason. And
people are reluctant to, you know, strip off and reveal the 11th finger.
Right. And then Will is like, I'm not gonna do it. And then she was like, well, fine, because there's 13 men on the squad and there's only 12 spots anyway, so whatever, we don't need you anyway. And then the mayor is gonna pose. She asks the mayor. The mayor's gonna pose naked too.
Yeah, she starts going around to each person one by one to convince him to do it.
Yeah.
Right. And then, like, this other woman was like, she asked this guy, and the guy's like, well, my wife won't like it. She asked the wife, and the wife was like, you're just doing this to hit on my husband. Like, you know, like her husband was, like, just so scary hot.
He was not.
He was not.
Hey, man. She must have seen something that you didn't.
But Henry, the police chief, was hot.
Yeah, he was pretty hot. And I like the two brothers that she kind of pitted against each other. That was kind of fun too.
Yeah, so they both decided to do it. So I like that she's smart. She's up to hijinks.
Yes.
You know. So then.
Yeah, she knows everybody. She really networks herself in very very well.
There's only like right. 5 people in the town though, or 12.
Yeah, but you know.
Right.
Let's see.
And then she's like, she's back talking to Diane. Will shows up again.
Did you guys find it odd that in this tiny, tiny town that the post office is open on Saturdays?
Yes.
Because that's not a thing anymore, is it?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it is around here.
Well, you live in a big city, though, basically.
Yeah, because I thought they were closing post offices on Saturdays to save money.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what's happened over there in Kalispell.
So
Montana.
So she's hinting to Will that she wants him to take her out to brunch. But he's not biting. And then she asks where a Kinko's is.
Wait, I didn't pick up that she was hinting to him that she wanted to go to brunch. I was picking up that he was hinting to her that he wanted to ask her out.
Yeah, he okay. almost asks her, but he's a pussy. Yeah, he doesn't do it. And she's looking for a Kinko's, and I did go online and look to see if there's a Kinko's there, and they're correct. There's not, so I cannot prove them wrong.
Like,
they did their research.
Fact-checking the 12 Men of Christmas.
I'm fact-checking the 12 Men of Christmas. There's no Kinko's.
Right. But then it cuts to, like, all of a sudden she's been there, like, 6 months. And then she bumps into Henry.
I might call the post office on Saturday.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
No, she bumps into Henry, the cute police chief. He's very cute. Then they show her fishing, and Jason is getting all handsy with her while they're fishing.
I noticed that. Now, would he do that if he was giving a private lesson with a guy? Would he get all handsy with a guy?
I hope so.
Oh, yeah?
Jason, I'm having trouble with my pole.
But then she falls in the water, though.
Quite a town. I had written, right before that happened, I like the fact that EJ isn't seen as completely helpless in this small town. And then the right. next scene is her, like, not knowing how to fish and falling in the water.
Right.
Spoke too soon.
But she likes Jason, though.
Yeah. He's hot. Yeah. He's really hot.
And then we find out, though, that, like, Jason throws shade against Will. And we find out that Will and Jason are in a fight. And then we find out that, I guess, Will was doing something and didn't hire Jason. And then we find out that Will ditched his fiance at the altar. He dumped her the day of the wedding.
Yeah.
So, then Eric and Will are at a bar. And what did I write here?
I wrote they talk about grizzlies.
Yeah.
Talks to Will. They talk about grizzlies?
Oh,
like
a,
grizzly
it's a
bears?
Sports reference. It's a sport.
What is it?
It's a sports reference.
Sports reference. Okay. Mm-hmm. I watched this one last week.
And then
Will walks over to talk to the ladies.
Yes. And
someone calls him a pig, apparently.
Yes.
You pig. He's talking to the ladies.
And then she doesn't like beer, so EJ's drinking scotch.
I just think she didn't like the beer that she was given.
Right.
Yeah.
Kind of spit it out.
She spits it out.
Then Eric is having issues taking pictures for the calendar because his parents are very religious. And then Will, like, she's talking to Will, and Will's like, well, you still haven't gotten me yet. And she's like, well, I still only need 12 people anyway, so I don't need you.
Yeah. She said, ever heard of a baker's dozen? You're the one I threw away.
Oh.
She's got some good shade.
Yeah.
So then all the men in town are, like, noticing that they're all, like, grooming better. So, like, you know, somebody waxed his chest.
They're all grooming. Yeah.
I actually enjoyed this scene. Beyond the fact that it was a bunch of men, like, shirtless in a locker room, I just thought it was a funny scene, them sort of all calling each other out on all the ways that they're trying to get ready for this nakedish photo shoot.
There was a homoerotic locker room scene. Then somebody must have shaved their chest.
Right.
Someone was cutting their nose hair. Guys were jogging. A lot of the stuff was going on.
And
this is definitely a movie for, like, women or gay men. Mm-hmm. It definitely was aims in that direction.
And I'm here for all of it.
I wrote, I'll be all in if the rest of the movie is about these guys working out.
That's a lot of it was, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, I spent the movie re-examining my sexuality. I watched it and I thought, no, I just watched it and I thought, yeah, it doesn't really do anything for me, so okay. I'm still straight.
But I like the fact it made you question. It made you
every couple of years we have to, you know, re-question. Like, yeah, no, I'm still, you know, I'm still straight. So.
I like that you're doing a several year assessment.
Every couple Vulcan.
Yeah. Yeah, you keep going. Yeah.
So. Every couple of years. Oh, so Jason and EJ went to see The Wizard of Oz. And I think this was like an inside joke, a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Because
I didn't even pick up on that
of what?
Reference.
Inside joke on
Wicked,
what?
Wicked.
Wicked, because that's how she became famous playing Glinda in Wicked. And so Jason tells a joke about the Wicked Witch of the... about how he actually was on the Wicked Witches of the West side, and she hits him.
For those of you listening that don't know the plot of the musical Wicked, it's basically a prequel to The Wizard of Oz.
It's why the witch was so pissed off.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's the witches. It's like, so the witch that was under the house fell on a witch. That witch is in Wicked then, right?
Yes.
She's one of the characters?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And
how many witches are in Wicked?
Two.
Oh, okay.
After seeing Wicked, you'll understand why the witch is so pissed off. Mm-hmm. She has a reason to be pissed off.
Yeah.
You'll never look at the Wizard of Oz the same again.
Hmm.
So then they're shopping. So then EJ's shopping, And she's, you know, commenting about, like, how they haven't opened a Barney's in town yet, so she's got to make do with what she's got. And she meets Sonia, who is from the big city. And she talks to Sonia about, like, you know, starting a retreat in Montana, so it's perfect. And then EJ's talking to Roz, and then she gets a call from Jason, and Jason's saying that he's sick, but he's actually outside with flowers.
Yeah, he's like clearly going right on a date with someone else.
Well, before that, EJ is talking to Sonia, and she recommends that Sonia go learn fishing from Jason.
Oh, yeah. That
big
was right
mistake.
This. Yeah.
Right. So the reason why EJ was shopping was because she was going to a sailing party. But when she shows up at the sailing party, it wasn't she was in her sailing outfit, but it was not sailing on a boat.
Yeah, what they call it?
Abseiling.
Abseiling, yeah.
Yes.
Which is basically going down a mountain on a rope.
Which did not look fun. I would have been pissed too.
I think it looked kind of cool. I think I've been into that.
So they all do it, and when it's her turn, she starts going down the mountain, and then she has a panic attack. And then while she's having a panic attack, Will goes and helps her out. And he helps her down to the bottom of the mountain, and she's like, you know, thank you. And then
they have a moment.
They have a moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she says, it's you I have to trust.
Yes.
She hugs him at the bottom of the
of the mountain. They stare at each other like they're going to kiss.
Right.
Ooh.
Which is very Hallmark-like.
Yeah.
Maybe I wouldn't do this. I don't know if I want to climb on a mountain or not.
I would if Will were going to save me.
If what?
If Will were going to save me.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, if most of those guys would save me, I'd be okay with it.
Oh, yes. Hmm. Oh, yes.
The rope was strong enough.
But yeah.
I might consider it.
And then who got her flowers? Because then did Will get her flowers?
I think those were from Jason. Because doesn't she call him to thank him for them?
Yeah, okay. So then she finds a sponsor for the calendar. And then we find out that Will is falling for EJ. He calls her Bob, but he has, like, no game. Like, no game.
This scene...
he says he's falling for her, but then he tells her she's bossy, she's rude, she's arrogant, and I'm like, dude, you're not selling this.
I felt like that scene came out of nowhere.
Right.
There was no real build-up to that scene.
Right. Because it's like, I'm in love with you.
Yeah, he just shows up at the office to say that he's got feelings for her. It's like, well, what, beyond the saving her from falling off a mountain, what happened where they had any time together where he could even wrap his head around that concept?
Yeah.
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 And then he's not presenting himself well. He says she's rude and arrogant. He says he has feelings for her, but the feelings won't pass, but it makes him sick. He's repulsed.
Yeah, he did say that. That's like,
not,
dude, you're
not
really
good. It's not going to work.
Well, he had shown up there under the pretense of, I want to sponsor the calendar.
Mm.
And then when he tells her his feelings, she kind of rebuffs him. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, fine, I'm not going to sponsor. And he leaves, and she's like, I'll get another sponsor. Which she does.
Yeah.
Oh, then they're fighting, and she's like, well, you cost Jason a job. And then he's like, well, how well do you really know Jason? And then, yeah, that's right, because she tells him, we already have a sponsor, but then she really didn't.
Right.
But then she went out and found one. She got Sonia.
She calls
a sponsor.
Sonia. And Sonia's line of work is she does like a GPS thing.
Right.
It's a navigational, what did I write? Navigational gravitational, I think it's called.
Yeah. I actually thought when we were first introduced to Sonia and her GPS navigation that, because we find out that Will owns sporting goods stores. They mentioned that at one point, even though we never see him at work. I thought that those two were somehow going to get together in a business partnership, Sonya and Will.
So then it's the day of the photo shoot. Mm-hmm. And we have guys, they're in their underwear.
You get a montage.
Mike is nervous. We have a man in underwear montage.
Yes. I wrote shirtless photo shoot montage. I'm on board. And right. It goes on forever. This is the best. And then I wrote, actually, I had to pause the movie in the middle of the montage. So when it came back to the movie like an hour later, the montage was still happening. It was amazing.
See?
Yes.
Now, is it like frustrating to watch this? Is your like head about to explode? Or is it like, I just can't handle it anymore? Or what?
It wasn't frustrating.
What do you think? Or did you watch it?
No.
Okay, that's good.
It was a well-done montage.
I've got enough of an ego to feel like I could get some of that.
Nice.
I feel like some of it was attainable.
Okay.
Maybe not all of it, but some of it.
Oh, so then they're looking at the – so now once the montage is over, they're looking at the pics, and Will comes by – and he gives her a kiss, and she kisses him back. And then they did the dirty.
Yeah.
Wait, where's this? Let me see. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So this happens after the montage. This is not part of the montage, of course. They did it.
Because remember, this is not a Hallmark movie. So they were up to things.
Well, wait, like I think you skipped a half a beat there. Like Will wasn't going to do it. They found out they didn't have a Mr. December, and all of a sudden he's posing with a horse.
Right.
Yeah, I saw he's with a horse, yeah. Okay, good. Right.
And then good. They kissed, yeah.
Hey, then there's a black man who's just thrown into this mix.
Right.
He doesn't even have a line in this movie.
Yeah.
Do you think he showed up accidentally in the movie the way that Starbucks cup did in Game of Thrones?
Well, that's what I tried to bring up before when you mentioned Starbucks, yeah. But left
black man.
Bulldozing on.
He was hot.
I actually didn't notice him. I didn't see.
He was hot.
Yeah, you didn't even notice him? Oh, poor guy.
Because at one part I was like, oh, a black guy. And he was, you know, he's very hot, so.
Yeah, he was, you know.
So then.
He was there.
So then after sex, they're talking, and she's like, was I really such an uptight bitch when you met me?
Sex.
And I was like, well, that's some nice after sex talk.
Wow.
And then, now, what do you guys have for this next part? Because I wasn't sure if my thing skipped a beat.
Well, like so after sex, she said that about wasn't an uptight bitch. Her doorbell rings. She gets up to answer it. It's one of the other women from town. I think maybe the mayor's wife. I wasn't quite sure. And she's like chatting with her. And then Will walks out so that whoever it was is like, oh, EJ and Will are doing it.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Now I remember. I just got very excited.
And he was very,
yeah, she just, like, opens the door and closes it. Says, get out of here.
Marcy. It was Marcy.
Get away, Marcy. We got some more action to happen.
Okay, now I have a question, because this is how I'm wondering if I skipped a beat or not. Because the one that I was watching got a little weird towards the end.
Okay.
Did we find out what happened to Jason?
What do you mean what
yes.
happened to him?
I think, yeah, we did.
We found out like later happened? In the movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not at this point in the movie, but we do find out soon, yeah.
Okay. Oh, so then she's talking to Roz. She's Roz is trying to get her to make plans for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And
right.
She's like, oh, no, I want to spend Christmas with Will. And then she's like, well, you know, maybe Thanksgiving. And she's like, no, I want to be alone with Will for Thanksgiving too. So
Yeah, but it's kind of weird because she's still kind of with Jason at the same time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, she
Just he
hadn't
doesn't
really
know.
ended the, not that she was official with him, but still.
Right. So, because I'm missing the Jason stuff in my notes, so when we get to the comeuppance of Jason, let
All
me
right.
know when.
Okay.
I'm going to keep track here.
So then the calendars have arrived, and we're at the calendar party. And then I have, she got a call from her old boss. Is that what you guys have too?
Yeah. Yeah, and there's people like giving autographs.
Yeah, the guys are kind of liking the attention that they're getting.
Right. It's a good calendar, actually.
Yeah.
And then her old boss calls and she hangs up on her.
Yeah. Old boss wants
And
to hire her back.
yeah, then everyone's dancing. And then the boss calls again, and Jan did something you should never do. Jan answers her phone.
Yes. But
Yeah.
EJ's fault for leaving it on the table.
Well, but still, it's
Well,
like, why are you answering my phone?
you don't answer other people's phones, you know.
Because how do you know it's
Don't
someone who
do
I
it.
want to talk to? I might be blowing someone off. But yeah, she gets offered her old job back. And Will overhears. And they start to talk about the job, and they get in a fight.
Well, okay, so this is where you missed a beat. So
Okay.
right before that, we find out that Jason got together with Sonya.
Oh, okay.
Because Sonya says something about a new guy. I forget what she said,
Is
but
that?
we it's basically then revealed that like Sonya and Jason have been hooking up. And
Right,
then J
okay.
oh, Jason's got a new
Right,
job, and it's
yeah.
with Sonya.
Oh, that's right. That happens here?
Yeah.
Like I said, oh, yes, I do have that. Yeah, he's with the GPS woman I wrote. Yeah.
So then, okay. So then they start talking about the job and they get in a fight.
Yeah.
And then EJ takes the job. And the calendar sales turn out to be good. It's popular. It's a hit. But then we go back to New York. But then we find out through Jan that like EJ's a success and a lot of companies now want to have retreats there in Montana.
Yeah.
Then Eric finally asks Jan out.
About time. Yeah, crazy.
Then EJ's in a meeting. She's leading a meeting with her new
In New
firm
York, right?
Her old
in New
firm.
York City. And she gets a call from Jan. And Jan is like, EJ, Will's in an accident. You should come now. And by the way, Will didn't walk out on his fiance. She caught him cheating. She caught the fiance cheating with Jason. And that's why he dumped her.
No, the wife walked away after she
No,
cheated with Jason.
oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And it was something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, the wife walked away.
Yeah.
So Will did not break up with the fiance. Is that right?
Right. But that's why, that's why she's like, that's why he didn't stop you, because he could, he like, he couldn't bring himself to do that again.
Okay.
So then EJ like leaves the meeting. And she goes back to Montana. She goes to the hospital.